This is RSBNB Update, episode 440, recorded Friday, November 22nd, 2013. The Holy Water Catapult. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this episode of RSBNB Update. Glad to have y'all listening again with us this week. Just Mr. Treckles and myself here.
Mr. Treckles?
Yeah, that's a new one, right?
Why Mr. Treckles?
Well, I mean, it's just something that Reed once said. He called you Treckles, so I thought we could call you Mr. Treckles on the show.
Whatever. Hi, everyone.
All right.
This is McShane here. Yes.
What'd you call me?
McShane.
Right. Your cat.
Meow.
All right. So this week's update is the community features update. It's an update that they'll be doing more of in the future. Specifically, they said that these come from all areas of RuneScape, in-game, Twitter, forums, fan sites, etc. So this is really things that people have been wanting for a long, long time. And it's easy to see that upon looking at it. For example, the first one here in the list is Beams of Light. Now, highlight drops are worth 1 million or more, as well as certain rare, untradeable drops, such as clue scrolls and effigies. So... I am actually thankful for this update because I'm pretty sure there have been times in the past where I've missed a clue scroll or something else important like that.
I did so few clue scrolls because I would usually keep one in my bank and I just never touched it in so long. And I finally do it and of course it's crap.
Oh, yeah.
It's all junk. Okay, what's next? I actually like some of these little fixes here.
Yeah, the next one is one I've been wanting for a long time, ever since the name change function came in. You can just now right-click a person in your friends list and give them a note. So let's say somebody's always changing their name, you can just say, this is so-and-so from the forums. Makes it a lot easier to track, and this was definitely needed, in my opinion. I'd say that would have to be my favorite one on the list, aside from... fireworks at every 10 million XP after 99. So, question that actually came up, I wasn't able to get an answer to, is this 10 million on the dot, like 20 million, 30 million, 40 million, etc., or 23, 33, etc., because, you know, you get 99 at 13 million XP and some change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure on that. If anybody knows, let me know. That would be good to know.
Okay.
What's your favorites on this list?
Oh, it gotta be an engineering one. Thank God that one's there.
What is the engineering one?
The engineering one. Now right-click on the Nemaheim Smuggler and click Collect to receive runes. Also, if you got bound a potion, you get it on entering the dungeon. So the runes one was the whole, if you do level hard, the medium task set for dungeoneering, you can have a small supply of cosmics and law runes, which is very good. However, before you had to actually go through the dialogue, which I thought was kind of pointless, now I could just grab some food, grab his stuff, make a gateway, and get on moving.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes. Oh, and the All key right. binds 1, 2, 3 have been added to the conversion interface while training divination. Yes.
You know, I didn't find this to be much of an issue, because most of the time.
Yeah. Go ahead. You first.
All right. Most of the time, you're clicking on the little crater thing, so your mouse is going to be near the center of the screen. So I didn't find it too much of a stretch.
For me, I just find it. It's fast for me to just type it really quick. So I just All click right. on the thing and just 1, 2, done. Don't have to move the mouse. I just tick, done. It's either 2 or 3. It's never 1.
Alrighty. Also, many of the older emotes have been improved. One I want to highlight specifically is the salute emote. It actually looks like a modern salute now rather than what it used to, where your hand would go on your chest. And the thing about the salute emote is that way back in the olden days when RS2 came out and for a number of years after the fact, the salute emote actually looked like a Nazi Germany Hitler salute. So it took a while, but there was actually a topic made on the forums where somebody pointed this out and it got some traction and it got changed to the salute emote that we had a week ago. So it's nice just to see a real salute emote now.
They could have done the Roman way or the Egyptian
way. What's the Roman way?
Put your hand over your heart so you show your loyalty to the army and the glory of Rome.
Okay, that's what the old one was, actually. So I guess
I know,
that's what they were doing.
Well, the whole Nazi salutes was really, you know, as one person once put it, how a dog pees. Because they had to lift up a limb.
Alrighty, then. anything else in this list before we move on to usability?
There's a new broadcast tab, but I think that's kind of useless for me. If anything, I wouldn't mind if they made one that was for sinkholes and the demon stuff. I don't care if someone got 99, it ain't me.
Yeah. And the thing is, the filter option still filters too many things, in my opinion. One thing that it filters that really shouldn't be filtered at all is if you're using a Ring of Wealth, it still doesn't show if you got something from the rare drop table if you're using Ring of Wealth. Now,
well,
with the Ring of Wealth update, I thought that should have been optioned on the ring itself, not in the broadcast filter.
Well, the problem with the Ring of Wealth is that if you find something like gargoyles, everything it drops ends up being, your Ring of Wealth helped, your Ring of Wealth helped. And it's like, I got 2 coins. And I think that was the main issue for a lot of people was the fact that if they were doing a Slayer task for higher level up, that thing shined every single time when you really got nothing.
Right. I remember that now.
Uh-huh. So unless you want to see that every single, go to the whole chat dialogue, it's not good.
Alrighty then, let's move on to some usability updates, shall we?
Okay. Let's see.
You can now drag and drop items between the inventory and the Beast of Burden interface, Grand Exchange, and your worn equipment. Yay! Because remember, what you would have to do beforehand is you'd have to right-click and open it, and then you would have to go back to it. I mean, just dragging, I guess, is a little mindset they're trying to get us all into. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show, but ever since the new interface system came out, if you drag an item out of your inventory onto the ground, it will actually drop the item. So there are people out there that don't know that. So just be careful when you're dragging things around.
Okay.
All right. Also, this is something I was not able to find in the options. It is now possible to toggle quick interface inventory slots. So that's those little red and blue things that appear right in the inventory. So you can just say, for example, access food or potion right away. I wasn't able to find an inventory or an interface option for this. Were you?
I can't remember. Actually, no, I didn't. Well, I was
because
looking.
It's not in the interface controls, and it's not in the gameplay controls. So I honestly have no idea how you're supposed to do it. And there's nothing on a right-click option for it. So this thing is pretty well hidden. Be nice to get some clarification on this.
No, didn't do it.
Yeah. Also, if you use the deposit all thing to remove all your items, and you have an equipped aura that will not, that is active rather, it will not remove that aura and dump it in your bank. So that's nice. Familiar options will be shown in banks even when they're toggled off. So this means that you don't need to go into the options and choose hide or show familiar options, because you know that that rather is counterintuitive. If you can't access your familiar in the bank where you should be, but you don't want it elsewhere, I mean, but anyways. I kind of feel that this one piece of option regarding the familiars is a step backwards, but it's needed. Let me tell you why. When you're in, say, the Castle Wars bank, I haven't tested it yet, but the thing is, there are tons of familiars there usually. So the thing I'm concerned about is, even if you have this option off, will it show familiar options for just you, or will it show it for everyone else? If it shows it for everyone else and you, we're back to square one. If it shows it for just you, we're okay then. It's my only concern.
Okay.
All right. Anything else on here?
No, that's it. I just like my Dungeoneering update. That makes my Dungeoneering experience slightly better.
Yay, that's good.
Yay, Dungeoneering. We should go, Shane.
Yeah. No, I've got 87. That's enough. I was happy with 85. Alrighty, so moving on to the patch notes for the week. Away. I got one thing to really talk about in the patch notes here, so I'll save that. But do you have anything before I start on this?
I didn't get a chance to look at all this stuff yet. I see.
All right. Specific? Well, let me tell you about one of the main changes for this week that was needed regarding a certain piece of content that was released that we were both kind of upset about. The drop rate for Serenic Scales has been significantly improved for all monsters capable of dropping them. All right. So this is good, one would assume, right?
Okay, but where's the but?
But the issue with this is that it's still hard to actually get these scales if you're looking to buy them or sell them through the Grand Exchange, because this update has collapsed the market. The price is going down, and people aren't selling them, and people aren't buying them until the price gets to what the new equilibrium is going to be. So, granted, this is a good move, but it created a whole other negative side effect. The price has dropped rather significantly since this first came out. When it first came out, it was at roughly 2.9 million. Today, we're down to 2.4, so that's a 500k drop in the matter of about 3 days. So I'd say that's fine. Definitely an improvement. Yeah, it is. And, I mean, it's still easy money to make. I got two of them in the span of about an hour and a half from the Dark Beasts. So that's a much improved drop rate from what they were beforehand. So
we should get some Ascensions.
Might as well, right?
Yeah, we should.
We should. Because you got 95 Slayer now.
And 90 Range was what was needed to kill some of those things and wear the armor and everything else. That took forever.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that later. So, that's good that they did that. And I think it puts it more in line now with the Barrow's option for the Malevolent Energy. Now, to make a true synergy between these three armor types, what they need to do is they need to give you a very, very tiny chance of getting a piece of Malevolent Energy when you run a regular Barrow's run. Because if you think about it, a Dark Beast compared to an Ascension monster, that's kind of the same level of a normal Barrow's Brother versus the new Barrow's Brother. So it would just be nice to see some synergy between the ranged magic and melee components of this, because we got the ranged one all set up nicely now. We just need to worry about the magic one from Virago somehow, maybe. And do what I said for the melee one as well, from Barrow's. So I would be in favor of seeing that. But aside from that, really not many groundbreaking changes here this week in the patch notes.
Everything's little tiny bug
portings
fixes.
Of life no longer work in Castle Wars.
Everything seems to be just tiny bug fixes
that?
This week.
Yeah.
Bug fixes this week, so nothing important.
All right. Okay. Yep, we're good. So let us move on to this next thing, which we got today. A Squeal of Fortune update that kind of changes the way that construction works a little bit. So you'll know that the lumberyard east of Varrock is normally where people make planks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what they did with this update, there's a new NPC called Plank Maker in Taverly, near the player-owned house portal. So all you need to do is you talk to him, and he will convert your logs to planks. So this is very easy now to get planks. If you wanted to plank your own logs, you just run back and forth, and it's obviously very close to the bank as well, given how Taverly is set up. I'm wondering if we might see some market action here on planks.
And also, it's good with a game necklace or just a lodestone itself if you really want to go that way.
Yeah, because that puts you down right next to the portal, right?
Pretty close. Or...
Yeah, and the thing I'm wondering about is where everything is all tied up together. I was doing divination today, so I didn't have a chance to go look at that. Maybe I'll do that right now while we talk about the second part. Yeah, the plank maker.
I'm getting there right now.
All right.
It takes me a while.
So the second
part
of this is the protein plank.
Yeah. Go.
Oh, okay. I thought you had something to say about it, but so the protein plank is essentially a wild card plank. You can use it for anything that needs a plank. So let's say you need a mahogany plank, you can use it for that, as well as a normal plank. So these are basically ways of speeding up construction training and maybe making it a bit cheaper for yourself, because as you know, the plank is the main cost of doing construction. So essentially, you'll get between 20 and 1,000 planks, and they stack. So unlike regular planks, you can just use as many as you want of them, and you don't need to worry about bank trips or paying your butler. That
butler
definitely changes the way construction works.
Yeah. I actually saw one where if you land it on the rare one, you actually get 1,000 planks, which I thought was quite nice. Some kind of bonus experience, and you can really level up that really quest. Throw in a ceiling creation hammer too.
Yep. I mean, imagine this, just as an example, making mahogany tables. Get 1,000 of these planks. You have any idea how much free XP that is?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I don't know. You think this is foreshadowing what they're going to be doing with construction next year?
Nah, I don't see Jagex that smart.
All right. because also with this update, construction packs you'll have a higher chance of getting those. Your chance of winning planks is doubled, and construction XP from lamps is tripled. So this is really a time to train construction. It's only for this weekend, the 22nd through the 25th at 23:59 GMT. So definitely a weekend, I'd say, to go out and do challenges. And maybe if you're looking to be a bit more generous to Jagex, purchase spins.
Yeah, this is, I see the plank maker. He's just wearing a white apron. He's actually very close to the bank. Very, very close to the bank.
Okay, how close?
If you make, well, you know where the lodestone is for Taverly?
Uh-huh.
It's near White Wolf Mountain. Just a little bit south of where the underground passage thing used to be. He's more or less like right there, right next to the bar. If you actually make your mini map just a little bit bigger, you can actually see him while you're at the bank. Let me see. That's nice.
Well, I'm wondering if he's going to be sticking around for this update.
Well, I don't know. He is very close. He's right under.
Because if he's sticking around for this update, the entire plank market of RuneScape just changed.
Meh.
If he's going to be here past Monday, everything has changed with regarding how construction works and how much it's going to cost. Because if you think about it, the main cost of training construction is that run from Varrock East Bank to the plank maker there by the bar and then back into Varrock. That's the main cost of making planks, all the markup that you have on them. So if this guy sticks, we're going to be in a completely different market for planks.
That's good. Cheaper price for me.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, construction... this is good for the end user, but I don't know about the economy as a whole, because construction was designed to be as a money sink, but the amount of people pouring into the high levels and just constantly upgrading their houses, I bet, has gone down, if you think about it.
I kind of think that what they should also do is let you really, I think they should expand player-owned house, let you build more stuff, not just once every week or something. Something, make it, do some quests, and you can add more stuff to the house, make it more unique.
Yeah, and that's what they alluded to at RuneFest, player-owned houses, getting a massive update, not being bound to certain hotspots like we are now, that sort of thing. Overall, I'd say it's a good thing that we're seeing happen with this. Probably the first peg in the construction update for next year. I like this. Okay. It might just encourage me to get 90 construction. Mac, finish off my level 90s. Go back to sinkholes. Finish off dungeoneering that way.
5, 6, 7. 7 skills that are in the 80s, not counting divination. But they're like
it's something 80, to do regardless.
They're all like 87, 89, so I'm not going to trip. Okay.
Alrighty. Well, let's move on then. Good to know, and fingers crossed that the plank maker sticks around. Goodwill update for this week. Look at what we got for the amount of GP donated. Somebody has donated upwards of 11.1 billion GP of their own. Second place is 5 billion and 1, and then 5 billion after the fact is third.
Well, you know how it is, Shane.
Can you believe this?
I do. These are, remember, Shane, these are the top 0.5%. Oh, you know it's true.
Grand total of 335,941,392,228 coins donated so far. And in terms of bonds, 6237 bonds donated for $29,313. So huge amount of bonds being donated there. Definitely nice to see the charitable nature of the players in this regard, and keep in mind that this goes until the end of the month, so we got about a week left on this. So, good job everyone so far. And remember, if you haven't donated, the Well of Goodwill is located just south of the Grand Exchange.
And you get a nice fancy title, too, just for donating anything.
Yeah, you do. Then if you donate more, you get a larger title, and then more and more, more titles as you go. So
if you're
in it for titles, then I guess you could do this, but...
And if you are indeed that rich to get the third stage of titles, we gladly accept donations to the Make Trekkie and Shane 12, 12088 Slightly Richer Foundation.
Alrighty. I'm going to jump ahead a bit and talk about the BTS video, actually, before Above the Lore, just because I want to. But the behind-the-scenes video is out for this week. It's a 10-minute Q&A session with Mod Mark answering a variety of questions from various RuneScapers, among certain things. There's three questions I want to highlight.
Go for it.
The first question deals with the state of Edgeville. You and I have always talked about how Edgeville is and how that needs to be fixed up, right?
Uh-huh.
So there was a question, will Edgeville ever get cleaned up like Lumbridge? And his answer was something along the lines that the people of Lumbridge are more concerned about it than the people of Edgeville are. So in short, no, it's not going to be cleaned up for a while.
Basically saying Edgeville doesn't care. We are supposed to be a shanty town anyway.
Yep, pretty much.
That and I assume that Faladorians and Varrakians are trying to figure out who's going to fork over the bill.
Yeah, because Edgeville is pretty small, right? It's pretty much a suburb of Varrak.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The second one pertains to farming. Someone by the name of Shane, oddly, asked a question about farming. Yeah.
Really? Someone named Shane.
Have you seen any farming updates? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fascinating.
I wonder who that was.
Oh, no. Maybe it's a player named Shane?
Well, I've been trying to track that person down, but no, that's not who it is. The person's name is Shane12088, at Shane12088 on Twitter. So you can look at that. And I did ask the question about that, what's going to be happening with farming. And so it turns out that there's no farming updates in the queue at the time being. The main reason is that they had the farming update earlier this year, and they want to work on other things. Yeah. So that's unfortunate, but I can understand that.
Okay.
And the third question related to about why MMG has a tank. And there was something at RuneFest about this. I'm not going to say the exact quote, but you guys can watch the behind-the-scenes video for that as well.
Okay.
All right.
We also have a little lower podcast called Bring Back Zamorak. And
yeah,
in the latest lore... Oh, sorry.
No, continue.
Basically, Mod Stew and Mod Raven discussed the God of Chaos himself and what's in store for him after his defeat in the Battle of Lumbridge. Find out why he looks different to other Maharshahatis. Whether he really is as powerful as the sentient cabbage, and quite why Mod Osborne find his new look so alluring.
Yeah, basically, this podcast went into the fact that the godhood tiers are not concrete. Actually, what they are is they're more like a spectrum. So, granted, Zamorak is at the same tier as Brassica Prime. He is, of course, more powerful than a cabbage. But they're in the same class of god. They don't necessarily have the same amount of powers. That's essentially what that means. And why he looks different, well, that came from the fact he was a Majorat before. And they just took that Majorat look and scaled it up to him. So... those were two of the questions that were answered in this one. And specifically with regarding to this and other questions in there about why no one died in World Event 1 and whatnot, that was covered as well. Specifically, they wanted to figure out how the World Event would go, what the level of interaction would be on the players, that sort of thing. So a whole bunch of stuff in there in this one. So have a listen to it if you're at all interested in Zamorak. Given what's been going on with the gods, I'd say everybody listen to it.
I think my only pet peeve with that is the fact that it was just, it's still so laggy in Lumberjack. And
really, even after the event ended?
Well, when it started and the whole reconstruction, it was lagging very bad. Worked a little bit better now, but it was really bad before. As of right now, I think one of my little pet peeve is the fact that we had two gods fighting each other. And then we decide to spend money by training giant spiders and guard dogs to protect us from the gods. It's like, really? The same god who can basically wipe out an entire city and you're going to think guard dogs and giant spiders will protect us? Stupid, stupid kids. They should have spent it on a giant catapult filled with holy water. Yeah, think about it. You know, flung that over Zamorak. He starts burning up, and Saradoma like, ah, oh, feel my water, ha ha ha, and
Yeah, that certainly would have been more visually appealing and dramatic than just two beams firing at each other for about 10 weeks.
That's standard. They're using the anime tactic. Besides, a lot of RPGs kind of have that kind of element.
Yeah. All right. So I believe that's it for RS updates this week. It's fair to note that the CoinShare update, that's been pushed back to next week. So we'll get to talk about the economy again pertaining to that. Because obviously CoinShare has been a problem with just inserting things on the GE and whatnot. So it's about time that we have a solution to that. So looking forward to that.
Okay.
Alrighty. What's next?
What is next? We are moving on to questions, aren't we? Alright. We have one question this week. We have a question from Magic. With the direction that RS has been moving toward in the last few years, do you feel that it is all for the best? Quests have fallen from once a month to maybe every 3 months. There's a lot more focus on the players. Graphics are taking precedence over content. And the arrival of the Sixth Age has made everything about, the Sixth Age. Does any of this bother you? Personally, I'm happy with a lot of the usability changes, and I don't think the game is dying. I just don't like the direction of the game. What are your thoughts? Also, if Dragus said that this is the year of the player, what do you think will next year be? I'm hoping for a year of the elves. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. You know, I am going to agree a bit on this question that it isn't all for the best the way the game is going. One thing I'm concerned about, specifically with regard to the player base, is the fact that the players are going to be deciding more in general, broadly, on certain updates and whether or not they happen. Key example, that being Prestige, and maybe other updates that'll come out next year. They've been talking about guaranteed content pools for reworking mini games and whatnot. Who knows what else they'll do in terms of that. I honestly just don't think that putting game direction in the hands of players to such a degree as shooting down an entire conceptualized form of content is a good thing. And, I mean, the minigame one is probably going to be okay, reworking a certain minigame that the players want. But, I mean, the question is, where do you stop? And are the players making the right decision? Because, you know, player bases change. You're going to argue that a couple of years back, the player base was younger. Now it's older. So what if players back then had been making changes and this player base changed? How would those people feel about those changes, that sort of thing like that? So I'm going to agree on that point.
Okay. God, I don't know how much to say on this one. think, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, we grew, a lot of us started playing RS for such a long time that it made people still have the idea of how RS used to be, how it looked, how it used to look. So then, you know, they're doing all the reworking, all the graphics just to bring it more up to date with what's expected of an RPG.
That's true.
And focus on the player. I think we're more focused on the player this year. I mean, it's basically exploring about us. However, it would be nice if we discover more about our magical powers than just, hey, Serodomin, you can't hurt me. Ha ha. Fun. Poke fun at you. Ha ha.
You know, I think what the best outcome of this entire god thing would be?
I become a supreme god and have everyone read my Bible.
Yeah, everyone become a god. The player becomes the god. Not like a tier 2 god or anything.
Just
outlandish, just maybe something
a deity
on the level of Ichthyrin or maybe even Zamorak or Brassica Prime currently. Nothing more powerful than that. But that would be a way to go. And I actually do want to address a couple of things that were pointed out here. First thing regarding quests. Yeah, that's true. And the thing is, back in the olden days, I think the game was still growing, so they had more lore to fill in. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
So now that much of the core lore is established, they don't really need to be putting so much into the lore that they have right now. So I can see where that's coming from and why we don't have quests every month. Now, graphics taking precedence over content, Jagex actually agrees with this, and they said rather than reworking certain areas graphically, they're just going to be reworking certain ideas of the game or putting their emphasis into graphics on quests, that sort of thing. Because, you know, we had these massive graphical reworks, like the Barbarians, for example. Taverly also springs to mind. Ardoyan was also supposed to get a graphical update, but they've since said that rather than doing blanket graphical updates like that, they're just going to focus on the individual content and update certain graphics within that content. So they knew that, and they are heading a different direction. Same goes with quests, RuneFest this year informed them of that sort of thing as well. So, definitely changing the way things work, and these points are all valid, and players have been expressing them, and Jagex knows it. So I'd say watch for 2014, and actually some of these things were talked about in the previous Above the Lore podcast that we mentioned.
Okay.
Yeah. So Year of the Elves?
Year of the Elves. That would be nice, eh?
Yeah, it would. And, I mean, we might get to Quest 200 next year, which would be nice. We only got, I think, 9 left, or maybe 11 left. So it's certainly possible, at a rate of 1 or 2 quests per month, if they were to go back to that. Yeah, it would definitely be nice to get that storyline twined up, because, you know, that's one of the most lingering storylines out there that needs to be addressed and needs to be brought into the Sixth Age now with, of course, Saren. So, I agree.
Yes, it would be nice to finally go back to the Elven lands.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's going to be a while, I think, and I'm going to say that we would have to be an optimist in order to say 2014 for the Elves. I think 2015 is more realistic, in my view, as a player, and knowing what Jagex has done before.
Well, should we do the whole it will be released when it's ready thing?
Well, I mean, that is the way they're going with it, and personally I'd rather have that over what happened with Birthright of the Dwarves.
Uh-huh.
So, anyways. That's pretty much all I got for that, I think. Anything else from you?
No, I think what nature will be. I really want to say it's Year of the Gods, because after all the things that are happening, we're supposed to have a new skill that comes out next year. Not only that, we also have a lot more Serodomen, all that kind of stuff coming out.
Yeah, and they're also going to be having a quest come out early next year dealing with the gods. So I'd say that's a fair assessment. All right. Thank you, Magic, for that question, assuming we're done. All right. So if you want to send in questions, just look for the questions topic on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums, or you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. That's where you can also send the audio questions or phone them into the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. Alrighty. Oh, and we also have the Skype name. Just Skype us at RSBNB update. No spaces. Alrighty. Let's move on to tech news.
Tech news. Okay, tech news.
We know what we got this week.
Xbox. Okay.
You actually produced this week's tech news. So first up is Xbox One, the launch.
Yeah. You found that one. I didn't take that one. I don't care for the Xbox.
Oh well. Yeah, neither do I. But I thought we might as well talk about it because we mentioned the PS4 launch last week.
Okay, well anyway,
Xbox One that just shows how excited we are about the Xbox One, right?
Well, I'm just not a fan of consoles anymore. Used to be. Anyway, okay, Xbox has been released. It comes out. And relive the moment for Xbox One launches around the world. You can click on here from Microsoft's website. You can look around and have some fun.
Yeah, they're sure making a good deal of hype out of this, aren't they?
Hey, break my XboxOne.com.
Let's see. Like, they got this whole tweet stream on here and everything. Looks interesting, and I think I've decided that the Xbox One would be the console that I would choose if I was getting a new Xbox console. So, or a new gaming console, rather, over the PS4. That's what I'd choose. Mm-hmm. Which one do you choose, PS4 or Xbox One?
Nintendo.
Okay, that works.
If I had to choose, I would choose Nintendo. You know, as much as you hate it, or may not like it as much, Shane, this Mario Party is still fun if you actually get a good group of people together.
Yeah, that's true. And Super Smash Brothers.
I sucked at that game.
I love that game.
I had people who were like 300 times better than me, and so I just kept getting my butt kicked back into college days. And someone actually brought Xbox.
Were they from your same ethnic group?
No. God, Shane, how racist of you!
I thought those types were good at that. I thought you guys were good at
Two white guys, an Indian, and a real Indian, not a Native American, and another white guy, and a Jewish guy.
Okay.
We literally spent.
I was just wondering.
We spent some good, decent Fridays playing Smash Brothers in the big screen TV downstairs in the dorm. That was fun. Okay. Let's see.
That's great. The Xbox One is actually $499 compared to the PS3 or PS4 is $399, which is understandable. I mean, the Xbox One comes with a Kinect by default and. Overall, I think is a better platform with Microsoft than the PS3 is. So I'd say it's worth paying the extra bit with it. But some people disagree with that. So the stage is set. And if anybody out there wondering for Christmas, I would say hold off this year on purchasing an Xbox One because you know by next year they're going to be $100 cheaper, right?
And they're going to release the Xbox Two.
I don't think so.
Oh, it's gonna be great. So. It's gonna be like a brand new. It's gonna be like a brand new case with full surround sound capabilities and a laser that shoots out of it to direct the angle of planes that are coming into the airport. And it's gonna be totally awesome. And what it'll also do is it has a sensor in it that detects PS4s in the area and will actually destroy them from the inside out. That's gonna be completely awesome. Because no one likes being number two. We always want to be number one.
Which you can do that with the Xbox One.
You got that, Shane?
Yes, I did. All right, so let's just move on to some real news for the week then. Winamp is dead.
Yes, Winamp. Winamp, the MP3 player from way back when, is finally getting canned by AOL. Yes. So anyway,
in 1999, mm-hmm. December 20th, you won't be able to download it anymore.
Yes. Oh, well, you could still download it, just at the newest version. There's still plenty of older versions out there in the internet. But again, those are not from the official site, though. That's on your own risk. But you know, Shane, did you ever get Winamp?
Yeah, I did actually.
Did you ever spend like a couple
back
hours
when Windows Media Player?
Did you ever spend a couple hours just looking for new skins?
I did not.
You did it? I did. I remember.
I wasn't really concerned in skins. I thought the thing was hideously ugly. Oh really?
Well, I thought it was a good Star Trek.
That's interesting. All right.
But
here's what happened with Winamp.
iTunes came out.
Here's what happened with Winamp. Exactly. Windows Media Player got better. iTunes came out. Everybody had an iPod, so everyone switched to iTunes. And if you didn't have an iPod and you needed a media player, you either used Windows Media Player on Windows or you used VLC, which is the open source, what is effectively the open source, much better version of Winamp. And it also plays videos, too. So, I mean, that's why Winamp died. It didn't do anything special enough.
Well, also realize that they're run by a company that isn't known for innovation anyway.
AOL?
Yeah. I mean, Shane, name three people that use AOL now. See? Only one who really used that are the grandmas who don't know about faster internet, so they use the AOL dial-up thing.
You have new mail.
You've got mail. But I think one of the other problems with Winamp is...
Oh, is that what it says? Okay.
Yeah. Actually, one of the other problems is that it's the bloatware that's involved with it. As they kept going with newer versions, they kept adding more and more and more and more junk to it. It was like, I actually still use Winamp.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I actually still have Winamp on my computer. I do. I stuck with the old version because I didn't like all the other ones. I liked it for its simplicity. I know you have your iTunes, Shane, but I didn't care too much about iTunes anyway. I still have Winamp, and I just used that.
What about Windows Media Player for you?
I never used Windows Media Player. I use VLC to watch my videos because oftentimes you can't read the AVI files, and I was like, ugh. It's not worth it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of the good things about VLC, and you can do playlists and everything with VLC, so why haven't you switched to VLC for your audio?
Because I don't like using VLC for my audio. I like to just use it for my video. That's just it. You know, everyone has their preference. That was mine. I like Winamp for what it was. It just made it simpler for me. Okay?
Alrighty then. So December 20th, no more new versions of Winamp, which is kind of to be expected. I mean, the thing looks hideous. And
yeah,
I have to say that people shouldn't be required to look for third-party skins to make it look good.
Well, there was a reason why there was a reason why I basically just went with What is it? That's why I stuck with the older version. I just didn't like the newer version very much. It just kept adding more junk into it, and just didn't. It just made it worse because then you have more bloatware. That was just annoying. I liked it for its simplicity.
Yeah. All right.
I still like it for its simplicity.
Final piece of tech news for the week.
Okay, the U.S.
Lasers
Air Force
by 2030.
Yep, the U.S. Air Force plans to employ laser cannons on jets by 2030. According to a recent published request for information, the Air Force Research Laboratory is looking forward to development of laser weapons for next generation of fighter jets. Plans to employ the lasers on U.S. fighter jets by 2030. And yeah, you can take a little read out of this, so it should be interesting. How would you be able to fire the laser and not kill someone 300 miles away? We'll figure that out when we get there.
You know, I think these lasers are going to be primarily used to shoot down enemy missiles, not enemy aircraft.
Hey, well, one of the ideas that if you were to, with lasers, you don't have to. You don't have to point your plane toward the enemy like you do with a regular gun. The idea is, well, my theory is that because you have a laser, you can have a rotating turret, and if you say shoot that plane down,
travels at the speed of light.
Yeah, you say shoot that plane down. Well,
it's done.
In theory, should be able to keep locked on the plane, assuming that it doesn't do something really, some impressive evasive maneuvers to get out of it. It should be basically a constant beam.
Which isn't possible,
huh?
Because lasers travel at the speed of light.
Well, yeah, think about it. Lasers have a hard time going through clouds, and maybe you would do a impressive mega over U-turn and be on top of the enemy while the turret is only at the bottom or something. You never know.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes.
They're gonna create a small marking laser so you can mark and blind targets. Medium power laser used against air-to-air missiles, and a high power device to be used as an offensive weapon. Okay, so there's actually going to be an offensive weapon.
But that's also dangerous because
operable at 65,000 feet. And between Mach 0.6 and 2.5, that's certainly acceptable.
Yeah, so, in about 20 years, our kids going to be flying fighter planes that can shoot lasers. Lasers, Shane.
Yeah, first step
lasers.
To a phaser.
Yeah, well,
yes,
if you think about
step
it.
To a phaser.
If you think about it, if this actually works out, it's not that hard to miniaturize it and sell it as a real weapon. But my thoughts on it is that, second that gets out into the market, imagine a lot more bank robberies.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Yes.
That's great.
Okay.
Pew.
And it's a blaster, dead. Shane, not a phaser.
Yeah, well, still close enough.
Okay.
Alrighty, so that's it for tech news. So thank you for that. What do we got for Skill of the Month?
Well, Skill of the Month is still going to be a Herblore, and we are looking at an interesting lead change. We have Jam Andy 52, who ended up taking first place with Tim flatlining. Clear! Aw, Shane, let's laugh faster than that. Okay.
Well, there's 8 days left in the competition. He's currently up by, 2.3 million XP? That's time to do something still.
Tim Flatline. Clear!
Yeah, he flatlined since day four, so.
Yes, and yeah. So
we also got Brumska in third.
There's a slight increase in that, too.
Yeah. So it looks like this is pretty much decided upon, maybe, unless something happens. But I won't speak just yet because I've seen stranger things happen. So keep going, everyone.
All right.
Alrighty. Next up, I want to tell you about something called Informer. Informer is RSBNB's writing endeavor, where we have a variety of people who write about various RS things, sometimes non-RS things. And we're actually looking for around two writers right now. So if you're interested in writing, you should definitely look at applying. Basically, the way it works is that as an Informer writer, you need to write one article per month of at least 750 words. It can be about anything in RuneScape that you so choose, with very few limitations. And we got a very nice deadline set up, so most times you can actually choose your week of the month if you want. And yeah, that's really all there is to it. You can apply on the forums. You can find the topic. It's global. That rsbnb.com/forums. Definitely looking forward to reading these. I know in the past we've had some pretty good ones come through, so I'm sure we'll get to those once they come in. So if you're at all interested, just fill it in. And if you have any questions about it, you can PM me or contact me in any myriad of ways.
Savvy.
All right.
Okay.
Achievements of the week.
What do we got? One this week, we have Jade Gizmo, who got 99 Thieving on November 21st. Congrats, dude.
Congratulations. Thieving is a nice skill, I think. Even with Pyramid Plunder, it's still tedious to do, and there's not that many real reasons for getting it to 99 unless you like the skill, so I commend him for going all the way. Good job.
Kudos. Kudos.
Alrighty. Time for my pick of the week.
Okay.
I showed you this, right?
Yes, you showed me that. And I showed you. Like...
Yeah. Alright. So my pick of the week is a short 10-minute little documentary about what would have become the second Star Trek series in the late 1970s and early 80s. It was called Star Trek Phase 2. The documentary is called Phase 2 of the Lost Enterprise. Basically goes into what would have happened with the franchise had that first movie in 1979 not been made. Talks about what Phase 2 wanted to be. They even had a Vulcan in there because Nimoy, as Spock, wasn't available, so they had to cast a new Vulcan. This time fully Vulcan, and basically shows as to what it would have looked like. And what the interesting thing is that most of the characters that were in Phase 2 actually turned out to be characters that they put on Star Trek The Next Generation. So I found this interesting because it would have headed for a totally different way, and it's hard to say if it would have been successful because it was still... would have looked like the old style series, and it wouldn't have had the high budget that the movies had. So, I mean, and it was the movies that's credited for the next series and the next series and so on to where we are today. So, I'm glad though it went the direction that it did, but this provides a very interesting perspective as to what could have happened with it. So if you're at all interested in that, or you just want to see what history could have looked like if events had not turned out, watch this short little documentary. Phase 2, The Lost Enterprise.
Enterprise, we got a problem here.
Have you watched it yet?
Part of it.
What'd you think?
Well, you do real well. One thing you have to, as much as you may not like it, Shane, Star Trek and Star Wars are intertwined. They saved each other.
You know, I think that is that could be true with this, because if the Star Wars movies had have not been there, there wouldn't have been a reason to do Star Trek movies.
Actually,
that wouldn't have put us to where we are today.
Actually, William Shatner actually said that during an interview a couple years ago that Star Wars did bring back Star Trek. What happened was when Star Wars came out, and it was like, oh my God, no, everyone has started jumping onto the sci-fi bandwagon. It's like Paramount went, hey, didn't we have a sci-fi TV before? Oh yeah, we do, don't we? Let's try and make a movie and cash in on the cow. That's why the first movie stunk, because no one knew what the hell they were doing. They just made it to made it. And
Yeah, that's true.
and it was actually was it this video that you showed me, or something else about the whole demographic thing? I can't remember. I think it was this one that you showed
I don't
me, how they talk
know.
about. I think it was this one that you showed me, but they talk about the demographics of those who watched the show back when three seasons were up, were on.
Right, yep, that was
Was it?
this.
Yeah, okay. So
Yeah, it
don't
was this
spoil
one.
it. Yeah, so take a watch if you're into it, and yeah, have fun. May live
Yeah,
long and
that's what
prosper.
created who we are.
Created you, not me.
Oh, okay.
Wait,
So what's
what's that?
next? I have a
Oh,
feeling
wait.
it's a certain time of year. It's
Really?
a certain time of year, isn't it?
Oh, it's the clip shows, aren't they? The ones where you can put all the favorite parts of the show and have us make fun of each other all over again. Bacon.
Yeah, December starts in a week and a bit. So, 9 days it'll be December 1st. And as you know, if you've been listening for a while, we do a yearly clip show, and we do that at the end of December. So now it's a time when we really go into overdrive in collecting clips for the year. You've always been able to submit clips for the year on update.rsmovie.com/clips, but now we're in overdrive, so we're going to ask you to submit these clips, and they can be anything, any episode. Just try and tell us exactly where the episode was in terms of where it is. That makes it a lot easier for me to find and spend less time doing it. And normally, we can get between an hour and a half or 2 hours of clips for a certain year. And this is always fun, going back over the year and listening to it. I know. For my opinion, it's the best show of the year for me to do. So I always look forward to this, and it's always fun to start collecting these because I know I get to start having a look at what's been happening for this entire year. So send us those clips.
All right.
Update.rsme.com/clips. All right. Let us move on. What you been up to?
Finally got 98 Herblore, actually.
Yay.
Was doing a
Herblore?
PlayerUnknown's port, and it popped up. I was like, "Ooh, I got it." Okay, then I got 98 finally. Got my what was it? Got my 90.
98's the longest level.
If you say so, got my 95 Slayer, which I'm happy about, and we'll do some dungeoneering sometime over the weekend, hopefully.
Oh,
Hopefully.
good. Good.
Want to join me?
So you're gonna go for 99 Herblore?
I'll get it when I'm ready.
All right. Yeah, don't rush it. I mean, you get 99 in a skill. It's a skill you can no longer train for fun, right? Unless you truly enjoy it. So I would say wait unless you're absolutely dead set on getting it. But good work nonetheless.
Yes. Cool.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it for me.
All right.
Okay.
Me this week, I've actually had a fairly eventful week. Yesterday I did something I haven't done for years just because I'm so high level now in pretty much all the skills. I got 2 levels in 1 day. I got 87 ranged and I mean 88 ranged and 87 divination all in 1 day. So, I mean, I was really surprised that I managed to pull that off because it's been so long since I've done that.
Okay,
So
cool.
that was good. Also, strangely, got 91 rune crafting. I was close, though, and I did rune span. So that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. You were doing a daily.
What were you going to say?
You were doing a daily, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, thought you were. Okay.
Nope. What were you going to say?
I was gonna say now you can do level one of the, effigies.
Oh yeah, right. That's always good. And double natures, because of what I mentioned last week about them being such high value now. So I'm very happy about that. And, you know, just hopefully it won't be my luck that these nature runes will collapse now that I get 91. So, fingers crossed. Also, in terms of ranged training, I've been collecting charms and got a couple Serenic scales with the new drop mechanics. So, all in all, it's been a good week for me.
Awesome.
All right. Anything else?
Be good. Pass it on.
All right, then. We'll see you next week, everyone. Remember to submit questions. And if you want to talk to me, just add me on RS, Shane12088. Or you can email me, shane@rsbnb.com. See you next week, everyone.
And happy early Thanksgiving to all my American brothers.